I'm very much looking forward to this class because I get to just sit with you guys and listen. But Jason's going to come and share with us two different topics. He's going to start off with coordinating in children's ministry. And then the second class, which I'm not sure that you'll find this anywhere, but it is preventing infection in children's ministry. And two great topics. And I've asked him to come and to share a little bit about himself, what he does professionally, and what he does in ministry. And so I'm going to let him take some time to give you all that information. I could try to explain some of it, but I would probably get it wrong. And so it'll be better this way. So Jason, if you want to come on up.
Good afternoon, guys. My name is Jason Kang. Let me tell you a little bit about myself before I start. I'm from Calvary Chapel of Downey. Anybody from near that area? You know where that is? You do. Where do you?
I'm from Riverside County.
Okay, but you know where Downey is. We're under Pastor Jeff Johnson. I hear he's on K-Wave now at 12:30. I heard him on my way over here. By profession, I am a nurse. I've been a nurse since 1997. Right now, I'm teaching nurse assistant courses in Bellflower, California. I take a group of 20, 25 students and take them through the nursing assistant program. It takes about semester, and by the time they're done, I get them ready to take the certification test, and a lot of them move on to the next level of nursing, which is the licensed vocational nursing or the registered nursing. Okay. I've been teaching now for about 3 years. I thoroughly enjoy it. I hurt my back years ago, and so, you know, for me to work in the hospitals and lift patients and be on my feet all day is really, really hard for me. So, you know, I taught in church for years, and when I found out that I could actually teach nursing, it was a perfect fit for me. So that's what I do now. So that's where the infection part comes in later on when I talk about the preventing infection. I've been doing children's ministry since 1998, I believe, and I've taught Sunday school for years. I've been a coordinator for many years. And I've taught this particular class in conferences in Pastor Larry's church and a couple of other churches for many years now. So it's always an honor and a privilege to come and speak with you, with anybody. Who am I, right? But, you know, the Lord doesn't use people because they're worthy or because they're qualified. It's because you make yourself available, and it's because you're faithful in doing those little things that God calls you to do. So some of these topics that we'll be talking about today may not really make sense to you, maybe, because you've never been a coordinator, never been a director in the children's ministry. But anybody here, I just heard you guys talking, you've volunteered in children's ministry. Was that your first time? You've done it before? Awesome. Anybody here has been involved in children's ministry? How long have you?
Three VBSs.
It's a neat time, isn't it? Anybody here think you're being called to serve in the children's ministry? Yeah? Awesome. Awesome. We always need young, faithful, strong men and women to get involved in children's ministry. You know, a lot of times people think I think children's ministry is for older people, but, you know, just because you don't have kids doesn't mean you can't relate to these kids. You know, so I just want to encourage you to get involved. I don't see any men here, but, you know, for a lot of the men, that if they want to learn how to teach, it's just the best idea to get involved in children's ministry and start teaching these little kids. If you can grasp their attention for 10, 15, 20 minutes and you can teach them the word, teaching adults would be a lot easier, a lot easier. Okay, so I'll try to make it as applicable as possible to you guys. But, you know, at the same time, you know, they're recording this and it's going to go out to other places. So some of the things may not really make sense to you, but I'll try to make it as plain and as applicable as possible. Okay. Now, so if you have your handouts, we're going to start with the coordinating class, just like what Pastor Larry told you guys. When you think of the term coordinator, what's some of the first things that come to your mind when you say somebody's a coordinator?
Planner.
A planner. A director. Maybe somebody in charge, like you said. And those are the synonyms that I've found when you look up the word coordinator. Some of the churches use the term director. Some other synonyms that I can give you is to organize, to manage, to direct, to synchronize, to harmonize, to bring together. Okay? So coordinator is somebody who's in a place of leadership that's placed in the church. To the definition of coordinator number one, it tells you it is simply a servant of the Lord who is called to come alongside a children ministry pastor in assisting with overseeing every aspect of activities in children's ministry. A lot of times, people in the world, when they think they've made it into a certain position, they think they're in a place of leadership, they feel like, well, now I can tell people what to do. You do this, you do that, I'm just going to sit down and watch everybody do the work. In the kingdom of God, if you're in a place of leadership, if you are somebody who is above people, the Bible teaches us something totally different and radical. You're not somebody who's just out there to tell people what to do. You're actually their servant. Okay. So as a coordinator, as a manager, as a director, you're simply a servant of the Lord. If our Lord and Savior himself was no greater than a servant, how dare we make ourselves to be any greater than that? So anybody have Bibles with you today? If you can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. If somebody can read verses 25 to 28. Matthew 20, 25 to 28. Before you read, let's go before the Lord in a quick word of prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, once again, we just come before you and we just want to commit this time to you, Lord. We just ask God that you just move by the power of your Spirit, that you may just instruct us, Lord, in the things that you want us to learn, that we will be sensitive, Lord, to hear and to do what you want us to learn this afternoon, God. So just go before us in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody wants to read it, please. 28.
When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible."
I'm sorry, is that Matthew 20?
Oh, 20, I'm sorry.
Matthew 20.
Matthew 20, 25, right?
Yes, 25 to 28.
No wonder I didn't get a reaction.
Amen. My version says, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." Do you desire to become great in God's kingdom? He says, become a servant. Verse 27, "Whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man, Jesus himself, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So first and foremost, a coordinator or director, an overseer, is a servant of God. Not only a servant of God, but he's also a servant of the people that's there. And so, you know, I like to think of the idea of a symphony orchestra. You have the conductor, and you have the musicians. And if you can think of the children's ministry pastor as the conductor, then all the musicians that are on there could be thought of as the Sunday school teachers, the workers, the volunteers, so on and so forth. So, you know, as the children's ministry pastor is conducting, as he's directing, the coordinator just comes alongside him and just makes sure that all the musicians have whatever it is that they need. He makes sure that everybody's in line, that everybody's getting along together, making sure everybody has supplies or whatever it is. And that's, I think, a great picture of what a coordinator does. It's not somebody who sticks out and tells people what to do, but you're just coming alongside to help and to serve, to make sure that everybody's coming together and that everything in children's ministry is running smoothly. You know, the Bible tells us that our God is not the God of what? Confusion, right? He likes things in order, right? And so, you know, that's one of the big things that a coordinator does, is because he comes alongside the pastor, make sure everything's in order, make sure everything's running smoothly and properly, okay? The second definition is a children's ministry coordinator is an extension of the children's ministry pastor. You can think of it as an ambassador, that when the people in the church or the teachers see the coordinator, they immediately can relate, oh, he's a representative of our pastor. If I need something, I can always go to him. You know, it'll be great if our pastor can be in 10 different places at one time. I know, like in my church, Calvary Chapel Downey, I serve in our second service, and it is our biggest service. You know, we have the most number of people come at second service, and we have anywhere in between maybe 350, 400 kids in any Sunday. We use 20, 25, even maybe sometimes even more classrooms. We have maybe over 60, 65 teachers and helpers and volunteers. So, you know, we have a lot of people that's scattered everywhere. And if our pastor can be in 10 different places at one time, it would be great. But some days that's just not possible. So we have a couple of coordinators that help him out in making sure everything is running properly. So second definition could be that, you know, the coordinator is an extension of the pastor. Okay, and I have some things written there. You're an extra set of eyes. You're just looking out for different areas. If anybody needs help, if you see any problem areas, you know, you're there to see it and to report it back to your pastor. Your extra set of ears, listening to maybe parents or teachers that need help or that have problems. Your extra set of mouth. You're also talking with different people, teachers, parents, children, encouraging, praying with them. Extra set of hands, you know, just doing things, greeting people, ushering people. Extra set of feet, just walking around, overseeing different areas, doing all of the above, okay, at the same time you're in communication with your pastor. Because sometimes, you know, just because you're a coordinator or a director does not mean you're in charge and you start running things. You know, the pastor is still in charge, and you always want to make sure you're in communication with the pastor, okay? So that's two definitions that I have on there. The next one is the responsibilities of a coordinator. And so some of the things that I will be talking about in this handout relates to maybe a bigger scope of ministry, a bigger church. Nevertheless, the principles that we'll be talking about could be used in any church. Could be a church of 10, could be a church of 100. It doesn't really matter. Okay, so keep in mind, maybe the scope might be big, but the principles that are involved in some of the things that I'll be talking about is applicable to any kind of ministry. Okay. First responsibility is to be in prayer. Now, if you've ever been involved in any kind of ministry, I'm sure you will agree with me that the battle is won in prayer. You know, we don't fight against flesh and blood. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Okay? So the prayer part is, I think, key and essential to any kind of ministry, especially the children's ministry. So first and foremost responsibility of a coordinator is to be in prayer, and it's the following things. First and foremost, for the entire children's ministry, that the Lord will cover in the entire area, that he will provide, helpers, workers, teachers, that he would have his way. And just pray that, you know, that God will bind the work of the evil one so many, many lives could be saved. Second one to be in prayer for is, you know, your pastor and his family. I love Colossians 1, 9 to 11. By the way, there's a lot of scriptures that I put on your handouts. I encourage you in your own time, look up some of those things. I'm sure it will be a blessing to you. But I love to pray Colossians 1, 9 to 11 for my pastor and for a lot of people, but it's just a neat, awesome prayer. You're praying that God will strengthen him, that God will protect him and his family, that God will give him understanding, spiritual discernment, okay, and that God will lead and direct him. The third one, you want to pray for the teachers, the different helpers, the workers, the other leaders that will be coming, that are preparing to teach that particular service, that God will just minister to them and to encourage them and to prepare them to be able to come and to teach the Word of God, that they will be filled with the Spirit, that they'll be used to the Lord. You just want to lift them up. You just want to lift them up and cover them in prayer. Okay. You also want to pray for the children that will be attending, that the Lord will prepare their hearts to receive the Word, and that they will come to know Him. But not only that, that they will grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And lastly, you obviously want to pray for yourself, if you're the coordinator or the director, that you yourself will be prepared, that God will fill you with the Spirit, and that you'll be led by the Spirit of God to serve like our Master did. I always like to pray for spiritual understanding and discernment. I think that is key for a coordinator or a director, because things happen on a particular service, and on the surface, it looks like it's something, but if you take a step back and pray and think about the spiritual aspect, it could be totally something else. You could have a little kid acting up, and you think he's having behavior problems. Maybe he didn't sleep well at night, but if you really pray and ask God for spiritual understanding and discernment, it's really, the devil trying to interrupt and disrupt the ministry that is going on. Sometimes the kids act up right at the Bible study time. And it's funny, it's not funny, but it's why do you think that happens? Because the word is going forth, and lives are being changed, and God is trying to move, and the devil opposes that. And so sometimes, you have to think, okay, what is the best thing to do? If that is happening, you need to pray. Forget about getting the kid and teaching the behavior modification and doing this, doing that. You need to just stop and pray. Okay? And you know who wins the battle on that part, right? Amen. So I think prayer is the number one responsibility of a coordinator, but really not just a coordinator, but if you're involved in any kind of ministry, prayer is key. Second one you see there as far as responsibilities is to assist the children's ministry pastor oversee coverage for all classrooms. So obviously you want to get there early. You want to be the first one to get there to greet the teachers, have all the supplies ready. You want to make sure all the doors are open for the teachers. You want to have all the lessons out for the teachers if they need it. You want to be the first one there to get all that stuff ready. You also want to make sure that the classrooms are open for all the grade levels and all the different age groups. If you have any substitute teachers that Sunday, you want to make sure that, they can find supplies, they know where their room is, that they're aware of any policies that you have, or if they have any problem kids in that room that they should be aware of, that they should pay attention to. You want to fill them in on those things. The next one, if needed, you need to open up a room until the teacher arrives or until the substitute teacher is found. Sometimes the teacher is late. They call you and say, "Oh, Jason, I'm running late. I'll be there in about 30 minutes." If you can't find anybody else to cover that class for you, it's one of your responsibilities to be in there. You can't say, "I'm a coordinator. That's kind of beneath me. They need me somewhere else." No, if that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do. Once again, servant. Another thing that we do in our church, assign volunteer helpers to needed rooms. You want to make sure that, these rooms have equal number of helpers. You don't want to have one room with 30 kids and two helpers, and you have another classroom with maybe 10 kids with like four helpers. It would not be fair. So you want to make sure everything's kind of evened out. You assign the right volunteers to the right rooms. Next one, communicating with a nursery coordinator for any needs or problems and relay the information to your pastor as needed. Some churches have the nursery under children's ministry, and so you want to also touch base with them, make sure everything is going okay. The next one is communicating with your pastor about any problems, any needs, any shortage of teachers, helpers, or classmates. you know, in our church, I like to let my pastor know, and he goes on a prowl, and you know, he prays and he sees somebody and he's like, hey, do you want to teach a class today? And for some reason, they can't say no to him. He could ask for $100 and be like, okay. And so, you know, he goes looking, and you know, if I asked him, they'll be like, no. But with our pastor, you know, he goes looking and he asks, you know, maybe there's people that teach Wednesday nights or that haven't taught in a while, and he asks them, and okay. And sometimes, you know, they get so blessed that they want to come back to the ministry, or they want to start volunteering and stuff like that. So you want to let your pastor know of any needs or any problems. You don't want to just keep it to yourself and see if you can solve it, okay? Because he's the one that's in charge. Next one, you fill in for a teacher to teach a class if needed. Filling in for a helper to help a teacher as needed. And so as a coordinator, you have to have some idea as far as, you know, how to teach these different level of classes. And, you know, when I taught Sunday school, I started teaching fourth grade with my wife, and later on I taught fifth graders, so I'm used to teaching the older kids. But when I became a coordinator, I had to go into these different classrooms, the two-year-olds, the three-year-olds, and kind of sit in and observe what goes on, because you don't want to go into a two-year-old class and tell the kids, okay, open up your Bible and start talking for like 20, 30 minutes. They'll be like, after 5 minutes, you've lost everybody. Okay, so they learn differently. So you want to have some idea and experience in dealing with the different age levels. Okay, now, some churches usually combine, if they're smaller, maybe 2, 3, 4-year-olds together or something like that. That's a little different. But, you know, our church is big enough where we have, you know, a classroom for each age group and each grade level. So, you know, for all those people out there that are thinking about coordinating or directing, it's really a good idea for you to go into these classrooms and sit in for a whole class and have an idea what goes on and how these kids are taught and how they learn. Sometimes you need to fill in for a helper if that's what's needed. Once again, you can't think you're too good or, well, that's not a coordinator's job. I have a title now. I can't just help the teacher. If that's what's needed, that's what you need to do. The next thing we do is, you know, we make rounds. Just because, you know, we make sure that all the teachers are in there, that doesn't mean we can go sit down and drink coffee and wait till service is over. You want to be walking around and making rounds. Usually one of the first things I like to do is just to go around and greet and welcome parents and children in the hallway with a smile, saying hi to them. Sometimes you come to a bigger church and you don't know anybody. And a lot of the people that come to church, you know, they're so used to just going back and forth. They may not say hi to people that they don't know. And if that person's there for the first time, they're lost and nobody's saying hi to them, you know, you could imagine, you could feel really left out. Like, I don't like this church. Nobody's smiling at me. Nobody's talking to me, not even saying hi. So you as a coordinator, I don't care who you see, just smile. Good morning. Greet them. Do you need help? You can usually tell people that are lost because they're looking around. Where's, you know, and maybe they have little kids and they're over by the fourth, fifth graders and they're looking for a class. You can tell. So you just stop them. You have to act like an usher. Can I help you? You can direct them to the right classrooms. Make sure you're always, you know, smiling and welcoming them. Another thing you do when you're making rounds is just making sure that you're facilitating the flow of traffic in the hallways, ushering parents to rooms, looking around for any problem areas. The next one kind of goes hand in hand, making sure the number of children in rooms are evenly distributed. A lot of times these kids have favorite teachers and they all want to go into this teacher because for some reason she has delicious snacks. They don't care about, you know, what they teach or how they teach. It's about the food or what kind of games they play. So, you know, a lot of times you want to make sure they're evenly distributed. If one teacher has 20 kids and more kids want to go in there, you might have to close that room down for the time being and direct those other students to go to the next classroom. Can you imagine if you're the other teacher, you're brand new, it's like your second week and nobody wants to come into your class? How would you feel? Like, they don't want me. Maybe I'm not a good teacher. maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this. You know, the discouragement could set in, and the devil could just use that and just go, see, you can't be in children's ministry, just quit, right? So as a coordinator, you want to make sure the classes are evenly distributed. You know, close the room down, move them up, and tell the parents, you know, the kids, hey, there's another class here, let's go in there. And if they're filled up, you know, you can open both rooms back up and, you know, whoever wants to go in, but you want to make sure they're evenly distributed. And sometimes, you know, if the rooms are full, you might have to move them up to the next higher grade. We like to, you know, if a kindergarten classrooms are all full, we like to move them up to the first grade. And if that's full, sometimes we might have to move them down. If that's full, they just might have to go to the overflow or the, you know, the fellowship hall where, you know, the parents can actually sit with the kids and stuff like that. So some teachers can't say no to parents, and they'll just keep taking kids in. They have nowhere to put them, and the classroom is full. And sometimes, you know, you have to look out for them and make sure. If they're full, we might have to move them up or move them down or ask them to go to the overflow room. Next one, you want to communicate with the teachers to make sure they have enough help, enough supplies for activities, crafts, any snacks. I like to do that when I'm passing out lessons for the following week, and that's the next one that you see. Just popping my head in, you know, hey, do you need anything? Can I get you anything? Or, you know, it means the world to them that you're around, and that if ever they needed anything, that you're right there. And I also like to leave our phone number on the signing sheet, so if they need anything, they can always call us. You're also looking at some of the kids that are acting up, and you give them a little look like, hey, you know, listen, behave, and they'll see you and goes, oh, okay, Jason's here or somebody's here, I better, okay. And so that's one thing that we do. We just kind of walk around and make sure teachers have everything that they need. Check in the hallways, restrooms, the perimeters for any suspicious activities, unsupervised children, unqualified helpers taking children to the restroom, anybody needing help. Usually in our church, we don't let kids go to the bathroom by themselves. They have to be at least fourth grade and up, and we only allow groups of threes at a minimum. They can go, you know, more than that. So if I see a little kindergarten, you know, toddler walking around by themselves and I see no parents, you know, we've had kids sneak out of the room and teacher have no idea. You know, some kids are sneaky. So we've had little babies, not babies, but little toddlers sneak out from the nursery, undo the doorknob, and they were almost out to the parking lot. And so, you know, you want to be walking around, making sure, you know, the kids are not walking around by themselves, making sure that, you know, if we have any junior helpers, that you know, kids that are not 18 yet, we don't let them take the kids to the restroom. And so, you know, you want to be looking out for those things, okay? Assist teachers take children to the restroom as needed. We usually, all of our lower grades, most of our teachers are female. And so I usually help them take the boys to the bathroom. They take the girls to the bathroom. But usually, you know, I take the boys to the bathroom. One thing maybe that I can stress out, maybe you won't understand this or it's not applicable to you, but people that are watching, we never allow our teachers to take one child to the bathroom by themselves. And it's, you know, because, you know, if there was anything that happened in the bathroom, maybe the kid couldn't button his pants, or maybe the zipper was stuck or whatever it is, and you don't want any accusations coming up or anything saying, oh, Mr. So-and-so touched me here and there, and have it go, you know, to a place where it's not even supposed to be. And so you want to take at least, at the minimum, three. And, you know, if a kid, I think the rule of thumb is you want to help them as the least possible. You know, those pants with those buttons, they're really hard to do. I mean, I have a hard time with it. You know, and so you can imagine a little kid trying to put his button together. If you say, oh, teacher, can you help me? Then you want to make sure the other kids are there to kind of observe, okay, you know, Billy and Michael, come here. I'm going to, you know, help Jason here with his pants. You guys look, okay? So you make sure they're watching you, they're observing. So in case anything comes up, at least you have other kids that can say, oh, you know, he just helped him with his button or whatever. Nothing happened. We didn't see about it. You know, kids are not going to lie about stuff like that. It'll be best if you can have another adult with you. But if at least if you have kids there that can be a witness and that can speak and say, oh, no, nothing happened. You know, he just helped him pull the zipper up. You want to protect yourself and keep yourself accountable. And so, you know, as you're making rounds, if you see any opportunity to reinforce and to teach your teachers about your policies and your procedures, you want to do that. You know, you don't want to just let it go, because those are teaching opportunities that can be used to help the teachers. You know, sometimes we have these rules and regulations, and, you know, if they're not followed, it could cause problems. And those rules are there to protect them. And so as you see these teachers doing something that's not appropriate, you know, we need to reinforce those things. And lastly, as far as making rounds, just being available and visible for the teachers for any assistance. Just letting them know that you're there if they needed anything, it means the world to them. You know, 1 Peter 5:8, you know, it tells us that our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. If you look in another translation, it says roars around, prowls around like a roaring lion. He's on the prowl. When ministry is going on, when God's word is going forth, he's there, and his main purpose is to stop it, is to distract it. And so as you're making rounds, you know, be in prayer, expect something's going to come up, and, you know, just realize it is a spiritual battle. Know the tactics of the enemy, and, you know, don't be surprised. Be on guard. The next responsibility is to be ready and open for anything. As a coordinator, as a director, you know, things come up during the time of a service. The first one you see there, counseling and praying for children with disciplinary issues, always pointing them to Jesus. You know, you have kids act up for whatever reason. Some of them do actually have, you know, some disabilities where maybe they're ADD or autistic but high functioning or whatever it is. And so, you know, you do have to, you know, take them out. And you can try all these behavior modification stuff, but the root of that problem is sin. And so you always want to give them God's word. You always want to point them to Jesus. You always want to talk about the sin issue and how Jesus died for their sins. And by the power of the Spirit, you know, they can have all these gifts. And so you always want to give them the word of God. And you always want to point them to Jesus. You always want to pray with them. Okay. The next one, caring for children who are not feeling well, praying with them, being familiar with basic first aid protocols. I'm blessed because, you know, I told you guys I'm a nurse. And so if somebody comes in and they're throwing up or they're sick or whatever it is, they cut themselves. You know, I usually take care of them. But if you're a coordinator, you should know at least some basic first aid stuff. And in churches, usually stuff that happens is maybe a bump or maybe a little cut. So all you're going to need is maybe some ice, maybe a Band-Aid, maybe some peroxide or something like that. Basic first aid stuff. But, you know, really the first thing you want to do, unless, you know, that person is bleeding, you know, profusely, is you want to pray with them and see what God does. You know, a lot of times kids come in and they have a stomach ache, they have a headache. You know, as a nurse, sometimes you think scientific and, you know, maybe did you eat breakfast and, you know, did you get enough sleep? But really, you know, first thing we should be doing is, okay, let's pray. Grab some people, lay hands on them, pray with them, and see what God does. And so you at least you want to be familiar with basic first aid protocol stuff. And if you're going to come in contact with any body fluids, blood, urine, or saliva, or anything like that, you definitely want to wear gloves. Okay? I'll talk more about that later on. Next one, cleaning up after the kids. Believe it or not, I've had kids throw up, urine. I've seen urine. I've seen stool a couple of times. I don't know how it happened, but it got in the carpet. I've had bees, you know. And so that's another thing that comes up. Sometimes kids get sick and they throw up, and they usually call me. Oh, Jason's a nurse, you know. He's used to that kind of stuff, and he can handle it. And so it's not like you can pick up the phone and call housekeeping. Please come to room, you know, room 10. We have somebody throw up. You know, there's no such thing, right? So usually the coordinators do that. You know, you can't expect a teacher to do that. Well, they could, but, you know, you should take it upon yourself to take care of stuff like that. Another thing that I do in our church, we have workshops every other month, and so I prepare to supplies and, you know, set up the room and all that stuff. That's one thing I do. Coordinating with ushers and security to locate any suspicious individuals. Sometimes we have people walking around in church that you know, they're not supposed to, you know, they open every classroom door and pop in, and you don't know who they're looking for. So, you know, in our days, in our times, you know, people have custody problems, custody issues, maybe divorced parents and stuff like that, and maybe they're looking for their kids and they're not supposed to be. And so, you know, we help the ushers and security with stuff like that. Or if they call and say, we have this weird guy walking around on campus, just keep your eyes open. Something that we do. Basically, just be ready and willing to take care of anything that might come up. You know, Psalm 102 tells us, serve the Lord with gladness. You know, if you find yourself serving God in whatever capacity it is that you're doing, but you find yourself underneath your breath, you know, complaining and bickering, it's not good. It's not right. You want to serve the Lord with gladness, with your whole heart. Colossians 3:17, if you have your Bible, can you open that to that part? It's a neat verse. Colossians 3, verse 17, also verse 23. Somebody want to read verse 17? Yes, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Awesome verse. Can you read also verse 23 and 24, the same chapter?
And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Once again, whatever you do, do it with all your heart, heartily, with gladness. Not half-heartedly, not, you know, I'm going to do this. Somebody's watching me, so I'm just going to do this. You're doing it for the Lord, right? And so you want to do it with all your heart. As to the Lord, not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Sometimes, you know, you're in service and you think, am I serving my pastor or God? And sometimes, you know, years ago when I was in another church, I had my mind twisted. I thought I was actually helping the pastor and serving him, and, you know, he disappointed me a couple of times, and I was like, I don't want to serve him anymore. I'm going to stop. And so, you know, if you keep your eye on man, they're gonna at some point disappoint you. And so, you know, when you're serving, you have to know in your heart that you're serving God himself. And from the Lord, you're going to receive the reward and the inheritance. So remember, you serve God. Next thing there is, you know, closing up. The service is over. You make sure that all the children are picked up, are signed out. Sometimes, you know, parents come late. Usually it's because, you know, they're in the prayer room. Maybe they just received the Lord, or they're getting counseling or something like that. So maybe they'll come late. So they'll usually bring those kids to the office or something, and we'll keep them there. But you want to, you know, you can't just say, okay, service is over. I got to go. you know, you have to wait until all the kids are picked up and they're accounted for. Making sure all the supplies are returned to the CMO. CMO there just basically means the children's ministry office. If anything's been checked out, you want to make sure they're all returned. You want to thank the teachers, helpers, workers, you know, for their service. Usually, you know, the parents rarely will say thank you to them. Some parents do. But, you know, they like to hear that. Although, you know they're not serving because they want to hear that from you, but it just encourages them. So you want to thank them for what they're doing. You want to discuss any problems or issues. Just communicate with them if they had any problems with their kids, maybe how you can help them better next time. Maybe kind of talk about how they can handle things differently next time. So that's a good time to communicate with them and discuss some of these things. Also praying with them if they need any prayer. Maybe they're going through a problem. They're going to go through a test or whatever it is. It's a good time. A lot of times they want to wait for the pastor to speak to him or to pray with him. But you can imagine if there's 60 people wanting to do that, it's going to take a long time. So you as a coordinator, that's something that you can take upon yourself and do. Last one for that one, just locking all the doors, make sure all the signs are done, make sure you know everything's closed up and locked up. Some of the miscellaneous ones, assisting the pastor with teachers' workshops. If the pastor needs help with, you know, teaching a class or, you know, helping with a workshop, with supplies or something, that's something, one of the responsibilities. Attending leadership and discipleship meetings. We have one every month in our church. We take a group of men for the leadership and we go through a book. And, you know, we discuss things, stuff that, you know, the Lord's laid on the heart, and we pray together, just keep each other accountable. We also have a discipleship group that meets every month also. Just being alert and sensitive to protect and cover your children, ministry pastor. Just keeping him accountable. I don't want to leave him alone in the office by himself as much as possible. If somebody was to walk in and accuse him of something and nobody was there, but just him and that other person, you know, it could really affect his ministry. And so I like to make sure somebody's always there with him. Usually his daughters are there, but if they're not there, I'd like to make sure that he's not by himself and that he's always accountable. And so kind of to wrap everything up as far as the responsibilities and stuff, the coordinators are there to serve and minister to the needs of the teachers and helpers, nursery workers, so they can be free to serve and minister to the needs of the children that are in their care. Okay? Usually, you know, we're not directly involved in the ministry of the children as a coordinator. You're ministering to the teachers and the helpers. So they're equipped and they're able to minister and serve the kids. But at the same time, you want to be yielded and sensitive to the Spirit and be open to find opportunities as they arise to minister to the kids and to the teachers and to the parents. I'll give you a neat story. Years ago, this neat brother, his name is Mitchell. He went to Bible college here. Now he's in Downey. God's been really shown grace upon his life, and he's now overseeing our college age adults. He's a pastor over the young adults. When he was teaching, this is years ago before he went to Bible college, he was in high school, he was teaching, it was a 4 and 5 year old classroom. I was walking in the hallway and he saw me. He goes, "Jason, can you come in? DVD player is not working." He had all these kids sitting down right in front of the TV, just ready for that VeggieTale thing to start. And he said, "It keeps spitting it out." So I was like, "Okay, let me see, you know, if I can do something." So, you know, as soon as we closed the DVD and we pressed play, it would just spit it out. So I was like, "What's going on?" Kids were like, "Are we gonna watch?" You know, they were getting anxious. So, just to buy me some time, I asked him, "Can somebody pray?" You know, I didn't really think that would work. I said, "Somebody pray. I'm just gonna stall them, see if I can fix this thing." And this kid prayed the nicest prayer that anybody can pray for a TV, a DVD player. And he meant it. He said, "You know, God, you know, please." He was praying. I was smirking. I was like, "Okay, whatever." You know, and as soon as he said amen, I closed it again. I kept spinning it out. I turned the power off and on and did all this stuff. And I pressed play and I held the door thing in. And he played. I was like, "Oh." And, you know, they were like, "Yay." And it was a great object lesson for them that, you know, as something as simple as a TV and a DVD player, God cared, and I prayed, and he answered our prayer, and it's working. And I felt so bad because, you know, that should have been the first thing I did. Like, "Lord, help me to fix this thing." But I was, you know, I'm going to fix this. So not only do you learn, I mean, not only are you teaching these kids, but you learn from them. You know, I'm serious. He meant it when he prayed for that DVD player, and, you know, it worked. So, you know, finding opportunities like that, not only for them, but it was for me also, that, you know, simple thing as a TV and a DVD player could, you know, teach these kids an awesome lesson. You know, you could teach a lesson about prayer all you want. If they see that happen right in front of them, it just becomes more real. You know, they just prayed and bam, God cared. It's not spitting out anymore. It's working. We're watching VeggieTales. You know, so just being even if you don't make yourself available, God will just, you know, use you and show you things. But how much more if you make yourself available and willing? Say, Lord, use me. I want to be able to minister to these kids. Some of the requirements of a coordinator. Let me wrap this up. First and foremost, you know, you want to personally know Jesus Christ, and that's pretty obvious. Not only as, you know, your Lord and Savior, but really know Him, being a student of His Word, being a student of who Jesus is. You know, just knowing His nature, how He loves us, how He laid down His life for us, His example, His servanthood, how He served other people, how He washed His disciples' feet, His methods, how He ministered to people, how He suffered, leaving us an example to follow. You know, knowing these things and making sure that you're imitating Him, that you're applying these things in your ministry. Okay? That's, I think, first and foremost requirement of a coordinator. Second one, having a Philippians 2:5-8 mindset. And if somebody can read that for me, that'll be awesome. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-8. Anybody?
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross.
Amen. Jesus, you know, himself, I mean, can you just fathom those three verses? The God of the universe, the Lord of Lords, humbled himself and became man. And, you know, how he gave up his life for us. And so, you know, having that mindset of being humble, having a servant's heart, having a teachable spirit, I think is really, really key as a coordinator. You can't act like, you know, I'm the boss now. I can tell people what to do. You can't act like, okay, you listen to me. I'm the director here. You have to do this and that. You want to be a servant. You want to be humble. You want to be teachable. Even around these kids, okay? Because we don't know it all yet. Third one, being able to teach and handle all the different grade levels. I think I mentioned that earlier. That you want to be able to go into a classroom, regardless of what age group or grade it is, and, you know, just be able to teach it. Okay. And lastly, just the flexibility, not easily overwhelmed and frustrated by situations that come up, but able to change and adapt with different circumstances. A lot of times, you know, things happen and problems arise, and, you know, teachers are watching you like, you know, if they see you all rattled and freaking out, how do you think they're going to handle things? And so, you know, you have to remember that they're watching you, and you want to make sure that you remain calm. You know God's in control, right? You know who's in the throne. So no matter how bad things seem, you want to remain calm. And if things go on, just being flexible. Just adapt, okay? Smile. Can you imagine if there was an earthquake right during a church service? Things would just go crazy. Did you guys feel the earthquake here a couple days ago? No? Oh, good. Woke us up 4 a.m. Yeah. But you can just imagine how things can just go crazy. Something like that would happen during a service. All the parents would probably come running. Where's my child? And so, you know, you want to make sure you remain calm. You're not the one that's getting all rattled and freaking out. Okay? So just to kind of wrap it up, Psalm 102, serve the Lord with gladness and Colossians 3, we looked at those two verses. You know, you serve God, you serve Christ. And so you want to do it with all your heart, and you want to do it not unto men, but unto Christ, because you know from Him you're going to receive the inheritance that is due to you. Okay? Anybody have any questions that I can answer? No. Okay. If you do, not you guys, but people that are going to be watching on video, my email address is jaseek4@gmail.com. So jaseek4@gmail.com. I guess you can send me an email if I can answer any questions for you or help you in any other way. But thank you guys for paying attention on this particular class. Let's pray, and then we'll take a little break. Okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for just the neat time that you've given to us and the words that we read from your amazing love letter to us, God. And I just ask, Lord, that you just continue to minister to us through your word and the things that we've read, God, that you will use them, Lord, to instruct us and to encourage us and to help us, Lord, to have the right mindset and the right focus when we're serving you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for everyone here that you will just continue to reveal yourself to them, Lord. Continue to guide and direct them, Father God. Continue to, as they equip themselves, Lord, for whatever it is that you have for them, that you will continue, Lord, to show yourself strong in their lives, Lord. And that you will just give a burning fire and a desire in their heart, Father God, for your word. And just to serve you, Lord, with everything that they have. So go before us now, Lord. Well, help us, Lord, to keep all these things in mind as we break and as we leave this place, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.